as this one. When I came in here this morning, I came in feeling the presence of the Lord. You know, it's wonderful when you don't have to sing it down, you don't have to clap it down, when it's already here. Boy, He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy. Worthy as a lamb. Worthy as a lamb. Brother Rentz this morning delivered his soul. If ever a preacher delivered his soul, he did this morning. Thank God he had a text for what he wanted to say. In there. Tell me about it. He made that fit. And God helped him. God helped him today. This afternoon, I've been over the conviction or what? But I'm going to tell you something, friend. You can't sit under the preaching of this word without either obeying it or rejecting it. We're submitting from it, either praising. You must do something with this word. You know, this afternoon I've been thanking God. Today me to Baton Rouge. Somebody asked me how I like Baton Rouge. Who likes Baton Rouge? Or who likes Peking or Moscow? When God sends you somewhere, you don't decide whether you like it or not. Amen. We're all here by the will of God. Amen. Find your way to the store. Find your way to the garage. Get your hair cut. What are you worried about? As long as you're in the will of God. Amen. It rains. It's foggy. It's hot. It's humid. But so what? Like the Apostle Paul, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in to be content. But I thank God for the day that I came here. I'll tell you, God knew I needed this. God knew I needed it. After 50 years of preaching around this world, never having a church home, never really being a member of a church, I dragged my children world in my till it bothers me when I think about it. If I think about it. But I needed to come here. I needed to have a pastor like Jim Rentz. And I'm going to tell you folks something. You thank God for him. He's a pastor. He loves you. He may not be able to be with all of you as much as he'd like, and he may not even know all of your names, but he's your pastor, and he loves you. Thank God for Glenn Miller. for Brother Richard and Brother Morgan and Kenny Jarro and Dick Logan. And Glenn Berto. I'm going to tell you folks something you don't really realize what you have here, but God for it. Love it. Be faithful to the task, because we're going down a one-way street. We're on a journey. We're on our way home. Amen. And the older I get and the further I go, the more I realize, hey, I'm nearing the end of this journey. And I've said before, when I get to the end of this journey, will there be more people in heaven or less people in heaven because of me? Because when it's all said and done, the only thing that will be left will be the lost and us. You know, I had a text all picked up, and I had a nice sermon. And I went home this afternoon, and God said, you go back and read something else. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. I don't preach. I never did learn how to preach. You all know that. But the further I go, the more I realize that standing behind this sacred desk is a tremendous responsibility. Friends, I hope you understand we are on our way home. And we're not spectators at a ball game. We're the participants in the great drama of the salvation of lost humanity. We're the participants. And all afternoon I have wrestled. I'm going to read it. Or part of it. And it's over in Isaiah. Isaiah, burden for a people whose godliness or godlessness became their godliness. Their godlessness became their godliness. They took their sins. They took their deviation. And they took their carnal wants and desires and needs. And they made them fit. They made them fit a religion that said there is a God but didn't believe in him. That said there was a judgment but they didn't believe it would ever come. They made it fit. Isaiah, no man ever came near, no preacher, no prophet ever came near understanding the sufferings of our Savior on Calvary. No man ever came close. As the prophet Isaiah, no man. You read it, mister. No manner. He was burdened. But this man of iron, this man whose heart, who cried, "Touch my lips," with a coal from off the altar. He didn't say, "Touch my lips," with the eloquence of Andrew Carnegie. He said, "Touch my lips." With coal from off the altar. And Isaiah said, in the 28th chapter, now friends, God laid this on my heart this afternoon. I can't help it. I've got to read it to you. "Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one, which as a tempest of hail and destroying storm is a flood of mighty waters, overflowing shall cast down to earth with the hand. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim shall be trodden underfoot. And the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower as a hasty fruit before the summer, which when he that looketh upon it seeth, while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up. And in that day shall the Lord of hosts, for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. But they have also erred through wine and through strong drink, are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred before strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They're out of the way through strong. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment." And as I've always said, mister, we can be drunk on more than wine. There are a lot of people today that are drunk on their own achievements. They're drunk on their own egos. They're drunk on their own accomplishments. Drunk. "For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line. If anybody tonight thinks that God Almighty is not watching every line of our lives, you see, I'm concerned tonight. I'm concerned about our movement. Never have I been as concerned as I am tonight. Young men that I saw saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and called to preach this gospel, and a whole world opened to them, and the sky the limit of what they could do for God. I see them now giving in to seducing spirits. I see them now going down the path of liberalism until repentance has gone out of their vocabulary, holiness is gone, righteousness is gone. Are you with me, friends? And I'm concerned tonight. I made up my mind that tomorrow, if it's the last thing I do, I'm going to start writing some letters. I don't think, friends, that any of us that know God should sit down and let the devil take it by default. I don't believe that. I believe that this is not a day for vacillating and countermarching. This is a day to stand up and be counted and say, God, count me in. I'll preach it. I'll live it. Hallelujah. I'll do it. For Jesus' sake, I'll do it. For the love of God, I'll do it tonight. I'll do it. To whom he said, this is the rest, wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. But they would not hear. But the word of the Lord, it was upon them, precept upon precept. Here it is again. Precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backwards and be broken, snared, and taken. I read this afternoon. I said, God, help us. God, help us and take us back to those paths of righteousness where when we stand before people in the grocery store or on the street or in the factory and say, I'm a child of God. We'll look like a child of God. We'll act like a child of God. We'll do as a child of God. And if we'll do it, he has promised us that greater would he be in us than anything round us. Amen. Wherefore hear ye the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that ruleth this people which is in Jerusalem, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell. Are we at agreement? When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. Can you imagine? These are the so-called people that owed God everything. I hear, once in a while, I hear a man say, I am a self-made man. What you see here, I made it. You didn't do any of it. We owe everything to him who gave us life. Amen. Who gave us strength. Who gave us the opportunity to even repent. We owe it all to him. He's a merciful God. Because you've said we made a covenant with death and with hell, and we are at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. You know, I'm reading the word. This is the word I'm reading. Mister, there is a holiness to be lived. Amen. There's a righteousness in God to be lived. He's righteous. He has called unto himself a holy people. And without holiness, no man shall see God. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. Amen. A stone, a rock. Hallelujah. Blessed be the rock I have laid in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, a sure foundation. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen. I have a sure foundation. Amen. Amen. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. There is only one foundation, and that foundation is Christ. Christ, Christ. He is the stone, the precious stone, the cornerstone, the main stone, hallelujah, the only stone. Whew. A sure foundation. I've reached the conclusion that if everybody in the world fails, I can make it. Amen. If all the preachers die and all the churches burn down and all the singers quit, I have a sure foundation. Hallelujah. That was there before the world, and it will be there after. Hallelujah. Amen. My foundation has always been there. Amen. I just stepped on it. My foundation. It's not creaky. I'm not gonna fall. I remember some friends of mine that had that adopted a little baby, and that kid was a mess. And every time they did anything with him, he'd say, "I'm gonna fall. I'm gonna fall." If he didn't get his way, he'd say, "I'm gonna fall." And he'd fall. "I'm gonna fall." One day they took him to the bathroom, and he said, "I'm gonna fall," and he did. And he quit saying that. "I'm gonna fall. I'm going to tell you, mister, the world round about you may fall, but we have a sure foundation. Hallelujah. We are not going to fall." Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Woo-wee. A foundation, a stone. A tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. What in the world do you want? You got it all. Amen, you got it all. Hallelujah, you're not gonna fall. Amen, because what's underneath? Whew. He that believeth shall not make haste. He that believeth this shall not make haste. What do you mean? Well, he puts a sign on his desk, it doesn't matter. When you're on the solid rock, you don't worry. you are safe. You are safe. Amen. Safe. Then he said, judgment also I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled. Whew. Tell me about it. Tell me about it. I'm going to read that again. Hey, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled. And your agreement with hell shall not stand. When their overflowing scourge shall pass through, then shall ye be trodden down. From the time it goeth forth, it shall take you for morning. By morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. Mister, when you get into this word, you understand that we're dealing with foolishness. Amen? We are not dealing with fantasy. We are dealing with the cornerstone, the precious stone, the sure foundation. Hallelujah. Woo! You're dealing with He who was and is and shall be forevermore. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. It is not temporary. Whew. No. Then he says, for the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it. You ready for this? Are you ready for this short bed? Because some of you are on a short bed tonight. Hey, for the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it. And the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in it. That is a wild thing to put there in the middle of that chapter. Whew. That is wild. Where's my water? For the bed is shorter. You know what? There are a lot of people tonight that are trying to sleep on the bed of morality. And it's too short. Oh, I'm good. You're also full of the devil. I don't lie. You never told the truth. I pay my debts when they make you. I am good. You are not. You are only moral. And a moral man will not make it to heaven. You've got to be saved, washed in the blood, standing on the rock, hallelujah, and then you will make it to heaven. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. And your bed is too short. You know, that is a wild thing to put there. Isn't that wild? For the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it. That's why some people look like hunchbacks. They're moral. They're sleeping on the moral bed. It's not big enough. Oh, I'm good. Then there are those people that are sleeping on a bed of external religion. Oh, I go to church. I go to church. I fill a seat. Don't worry about me. When they say pray, I pray. When they say clap your hands, I'm the first one. You notice, clap my hands. If they want to baptize me, have at it. I don't care what you do. Just so I make sure I'm married in the church and buried from the church and go to hell in the process. You can keep all of the Sabbaths. You can pray all the prayers. You can go through all the ceremonies and the rites and everything you want to. But, mister, until you are standing on the rock, and on the rock, the foundation, the precious stone, the cornerstone, all the rights on God's green earth will never save you. Amen. You can go to church until I hit that leg, and I shouldn't have. Hang in there. External. There are people that go to church all of their lives and never feel the Spirit of God once. If you don't believe that, you preach to as many as I do. That's a God's truth. Dead people who are full of external religion, who have never founded themselves on the rock. Amen. On the chief cornerstone. They're sitting out there somewhere on a pebble, singing, I'm forever blowing bubbles. External religion. But if all you got tonight is a bed of external religions, it's too short. For the bed is shorter than the man can stretch himself on it. There's only one place you can stretch out. And that's on Christ, the solid rock. Hallelujah. I can stretch it. It's big enough. It's wide enough. It's long enough. Hallelujah. To take whosoever will. Pile them in there. There's more room on the rock tonight. Amen. And amen and amen. There's room at the cross for you. Hallelujah. Room at the cross. Then we have the bed of false doctrine. I'm okay, you're okay. All we need to have now is unity. I don't care what you believe. Hey, as long as we love one another, and God help me to stay off of Jim Rentz's subjects. There are some things you reserve for the chief. Unity, you tie two cats by the tails, hang them over a clothesline. You got unity. But you don't have any fellowship. You want unity? That's what I think of when I hear them say today, oh, we want unity. Listen, friends, I want unity. unity with those that are standing on the same rock. Hallelujah. On the rock, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen and amen. Woo! Stand on the rock and you got me. Amen. With your new revelation. There is no new revelation. Amen. No, he is the revelation. Amen. He is the revelation. You can have a revelation of the revelation, but you cannot have a new revelation. Amen. There is no new revelation. That new revelation, the bed's too short. Then you have the bed of illusions. Oh, I have time. I'm going to be good, but not right now. I'm going to be good next year. You'll be in hell next year. If you're going to be good now. Stay good. Amen? You say, but I tried. That's your problem. You tried. Quit trying and get on the rock. Amen? Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. Get a piece of the rock. Hey, every time I see that crazy advertisement, get a piece of the rock. I said, hey, man, I have had a piece of the rock. Oh, hallelujah. On Christ's solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. For the bed is short. God help you, short-bedded people. Walking in your own counsel. Well, and the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in. No rest. No cover. Nest. Don't live under illusions. I've had people say to me, oh, you know what bed I sleep in? I sleep in the bed of, I gave myself to Christ once. Or I went to church once. I gave my heart to God once. I haven't been back since, but I did. So that ought to keep me covered. You're crazy. That won't cover you. You have, that is past tense. You have to get the past tense up with the present tense. Then you're in business. Amen? Don't say, I knew him. Say, I know him. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I know him whom a right to know is life eternal. Oh. Do you realize that people are going to confirmation today? You know, how many have ever been confirmed? How many of you, same people, raise your hand. How many of you had to be reconfirmed? That's what I figured. Because when you are confirmed, you make a vow to renounce the world, the flesh, and the devil. Ooh, that's what you say. But you can't do that. No man can do that in himself. Amen. You have to find the rock. Hallelujah. The precious foundation. Hallelujah. You have to find Christ, and then you can renounce the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen. Amen. When Jesus saved me, I renounced the devil. Oh, that was a glorious day for me and for a lot of other people. There were a lot of people happy when I found Jesus. I was amazed. Amazed. When I found Christ, I remember we were playing with, one night we were in a street meeting. I started out to preach on a street corner with that $5 guitar and a $2 Bible singing the Great Speckled Bird. Now, Brother Glenn Miller has smashed all of that for me, and he says the Great Speckled Bird is an apostate song and all of that. And he just took the wind out of my sails and half of my bio down the drain. Because I can't use the Great Speckled Bird. And he did it. And because he is my elder, because he is my elder, I gave in to him. But I remember we were out on a street meeting, because when I started to preach, if you didn't go out on the street meetings, you were backslidden. You had to go out on the street. That's where I learned whatever it is I do. That's where I learned it, on the streets. You know, I've always said you can. The reason I never did learn how to preach is because you can teach an idiot to preach. Firstly, secondly, thirdly, fourthly, fifthly. Summarization, doxology, boom, now you can teach an idiot to do that. But to deliver your soul and see men and women saved and brought to Christ the solid rock, you got to have something more than just the firstly and the secondly and the thirdly. You got to have the Spirit of God must walk among the people, and the Spirit of God must convict people of their sin, or nobody's going to get saved. Amen. Preaching will not do it. It takes the Holy Spirit. Amen. But we were holding a street meeting, and I remember we got it drunk. It was always good when we got it drunk. So we got this drunk down the alley. We got him on his knees. Going to pray. So we said, repeat after me. Dear Jesus, dear Jesus, I thank you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. And devil, I can still hear that guy doing it. So I said, boys, let's go back and get another one. There is no way you can renounce the world, the flesh, and the devil without the help of Jesus. Amen? Jesus must be foremost, uppermost in your life before you can renounce. You can't do this yourself. Amen? When Jesus saves you, the bed is too short. Now I'm going over to my text. I delivered my soul. God, you heard me. That's what it means to be led by the Spirit. That if God lays something on your heart, even if it's short beds and no covers, preach it. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Young men that are here in college, you want to preach, preach. But you need a little iron in your soul, a little steel in your heel. But if he's called you to preach, mister, there is nothing any more noble on God's green earth than to preach this glorious gospel. Amen? Amen and amen and amen. Hey, I feel good about it, don't you? I'll pay for it tomorrow, but I'm feeling good about it tonight. And it came to pass, as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee. Have you ever heard people say that? Well, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him simply, foxes have holes, birds of the air have their nest. We are on our way to an eternal marriage. We are on our way to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen? Are you ready for it? If Jesus should come tonight, are you ready? Let me see your hands for that marriage supper. And don't you forget it. We are the bride. When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Amen. Pure and white in all of the new revelations. Will your soul be ready for the kingdom now? No. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And I've got news for you tonight, friends. The bridegroom does not throw his bride away. One of the worst things you can do tonight is to hang your head and say, I'm not as good as someone else. Don't ever measure yourself by anybody but by him. Amen? If you love him tonight, you are in. If he loves you, you're in. All the powers of hell can't change that. The only person that can change that is you. I never allow anybody to examine my motives. I examine my own, see if they have a yellow fever certificate, a passport, a visa. I do my own examining. Don't ever allow anybody. You are saved. Do you realize one of the hardest things for people to understand? That you have the same access to God that Jimmy Swaggart, Jim Rentz, Charles Greenaway, Glenn Miller, anybody has. Amen? We all have the same access. I don't care what color you are. I don't care if they had to burn the schoolhouse down to get you out of third grade. I don't care if you are a Cajun. I don't care if you're an Irishman. We are all one in Christ Jesus. When I come to the Father, hallelujah, I talk to my bridegroom. Amen. And he loves me. Hey, hey, hey. He married me. He stuck with me. And I discovered he won't divorce me. Woo! I can divorce him. He'll never divorce me. Amen? Every time the divorce trial comes up, he says, I still love her. Only the bride can walk away. The bridegroom never walks away. Amen. He will not leave you standing at the altar. He plays for keeps. Amen. He's not like the fellow that was getting married, and the preacher said to the woman, said, "Do you take this man for better or for worse?" She said, "Dear Lord, I'd take him for better. He couldn't get no worser." And so tonight, He takes us for better. Amen. And oddly enough, He is the only one that can really clean us up. Friends can't clean us up, but He can clean us up. Amen. He clean up our lives, our appetites. Whew. I'll follow you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, wouldn't it be a pitiful thing if you, the bride, don't show up for the wedding? But you know what? The bridegroom never cancels his promises. There are thousands of them tonight. He has never canceled his promises. Do you love him tonight? There is no forcing of wills. I will follow thee, but it has to be your will. He will not force you to follow him. No. But he's always there with outstretched arms. Amen. If you do not know him tonight, friends, in the name of God, find him. He's here tonight. The rock, the chief cornerstone, Jesus of Nazareth. The resurrection and the life is here tonight to take you into his arms and carry you all the way home. If this is all true, why then do we allow the events of these verses? And it came to pass as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, "Lord, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest." And he says, "Foxes have holes, birds of air have nests, the son of man hath nowhere to lay his head." And he said unto another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." And there's more of this going on today than you realize. People are saying, "I will follow God, but my business comes first." Nothing can come first. Friends, nothing. I don't care if you're a businessman, whatever your career, whatever your profession is tonight, nothing can come before him. Nothing. You can't follow him and have a hankering after this world. Are you with me tonight? Because, friends, I love you. I love you enough that I'm not just interested in preaching sermons. God knows that. God knows that. I'm not preaching something to you tonight that I preached 100 years ago. I did not know until last night exactly what God had. And then he changed it this afternoon. After I don't know what God did in that morning service, but buddy, he did something for me. Did he do something for you? Amen. Oh, hell, students, you can thank God you're here. Believe me. Hankering after the word. Oh, I want to dance. God, I'm a little tired of the dance thing now. And yet, if the Spirit of God came on me and I wanted to dance, broken leg or not, I'm going to dance before the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. You don't have to hanker after the dance of the world. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Oh, hallelujah. Until at 3 o'clock in the morning, you can get up and do a little two-step. Oh, hallelujah. Dance if you might. But dance before the Lord. God, I better not get into that. That's Brother Wrench's area. Well, there's a lot of people tonight, they want to follow God, but they want to drink a little. I am amazed at people today that tell me you can drink a little if you don't do it to excess. That's like cutting your throat if you don't do it to excess. Just cut it about halfway. If you want to drink, you can drink in Father's house. You can stop at Joel's bar and be filled with the Spirit, hallelujah, and be drunken with new wine from heaven, hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, until it'll satisfy every appetite, amen, and it'll wipe away every damnable appetite that would ruin you in the end, amen. You drink at his place. Whew. Amen. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with what? With what? Oh, you look drunk. That's what they blamed them for on the day of Pentecost. They said they're drunk, and they were right. They were drunk. I would, God, that the Holy Spirit would flow across. I get hungry to see what I used to see in a meeting when the Spirit of God would just flow over an audience and people would just begin to praise God, go to the altar, get in the aisles, lay on their faces and praise and worship God till the wee hours of the morning. Amen. Until all of the cobwebs of doubt were wiped away, until all of the conflict in our souls was smoothed out, hallelujah, until all of the answers came. And the answers you didn't get, you said, God, it's all right. Hallelujah, for who can declare his glories? Follow me, but I got to go home and bury my dead. I want a little more enjoyment. You know, people accuse us sometimes of being sad. You know, they say, oh, you're a bunch of sad sacks. No, we're not sad sacks. We're just serious. Amen, because we have found a serious thing. Amen. We're standing on a serious rock. Amen. We're facing a serious eternity. We're facing a serious heaven. Hallelujah. We are not undone. Amen. We are not perplexed. If you're perplexed tonight, God's not doing that to you. That's a devil. I'm going to tell you something, mister. You can go back and bury your dead if you want to, but you're sleeping on a short bed. Because nothing will help your business like God Almighty will help your business. You give God first place in that business, and he'll bless. I remember the boy that I graduated from Bible school with, Mike Cardone, a WAP from Philadelphia. Who cares about a WAP from Philadelphia? Or a black Irishman from Pittsburgh. Don't say that to my face. People that used to say that to my face regretted that. No, I'm just kidding. We graduated from Bible school, and I've told you before, when they read the last prophecy of the class. Is that what they call it? The prophecy, the class prophecy. So do they do that? They don't do that anymore, do they? That's stupid. But anyway, they used to read a class prophecy of what would happen. Are you with me? Let me see your hands. Wiggle them a little bit. God likes a little action. And when they would read this prophecy, what was going to happen to everybody in the class, you know. This boy was going to be pastor of Glad Tidings in New York. This boy was going to be chaplain of the Army, and this boy was going to be chaplain of the Navy, and this girl would take Amy Semple McPherson's place, and this man would take John Wright Follett's place, and this boy would take A.G. Ward's place, and so on. They got down to C.E. Greenaway, Charles Greenaway, and Mike Cardone, and those people said the two boys are most unlikely to succeed. And whenever I go to that college to lecture, now I'll let them know about it. I have forgiven them, but I'll never let them forget it. But I remember we got out of college, and we didn't have anything. Nothing. We were poor. You know, the Cardone boys didn't have salt for their spaghetti. But Mike Cardone loved God. Charlie Greenaway loved God. And Mister, you don't mess with people that love God. Amen. Don't mess with people that have said, God, here I am. Take me, break me, mold me, shape me. Do what you want to. Don't you mess with people like that. God will get you. God will get you. Don't mess with them. They mess with me. And I remember Mike and I would find a place to pray down by the Perkiomen River. And I remember that Italian kid, dear God, he'd cry and bawl, and the mosquitoes would bite us, and but we'd keep on praying and pounding the sand. If anybody would have looked in on us, they said they're crazy, and we were fools for Christ's sake. Amen, but we were, amen, we were moving on. And Mike said to me one day, he said, Charlie, he said, I'm going to follow God. He said, I watched my old man die like a beggar. He said, you know how I was reared, and you know where we both came from. But he said, Charlie, let's hang in there, because God is going to do something for both of us. Whew. And Mike and his brother, riding in their old Model A Ford down an avenue in Philadelphia, there was a truck in front of them, loaded with old carburetors, a whole truckload of old carburetors. And Mike said to Nick, his brother, he said, Nick, that's a pile of trouble. And it was, you know, a whole load of old carburetors. You don't even know what a carburetor is now. You wouldn't know it from the fuel pump, most of you. We could take them apart in the dark and put them back together again. He said, Nick, where are they going with those old carburetors? He said, they're taking them to the city dump. He said, look, Nick, now you talk about God Almighty taking care of his own. Woo! And down in that little wop's head, God turned on a light. Woo! Just turned it on. 250 watts. Boom. He said, Nick, We just overhauled our carburetor, and it works like new. Why can't we take those old carburetors, rebuild them, and sell them? Nick said, hey, we can do it. They took their little garage that held a Model A Ford. That's not very big. And they started going to the junk piles and getting old carburetors, started rebuilding them, until today, nobody buys, in America, nobody buys a rebuilt carburetor, a rebuilt fuel pump, a rebuilt windshield wiper, a rebuilt hydraulic, what do you call it, for your steering. Nobody buys a rebuilt air conditioner motor unless it has been rebuilt by Mike Cardone Incorporated. Hallelujah. And he has given God over $100 million. Oh, hallelujah. The boy that was the most unlikely to succeed. Tell me about it. I will follow you, God, but I got to go and take care of my business first. Tell God that. God knows more about your business than you'll ever know. Amen. And happy was the man that God that said, God runs my business. I got to let you go here. I got 5 minutes. But anyway, Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead, but go and preach the kingdom of God. That's the smartest advice God ever gave anybody. Amen. And another said, I will follow, but I first must go and bid them farewell which are at my house. If I'm going to follow you, God, I got to say goodbye to all my friends. Dear God, I have had more friends since he saved me. Amen. You want friends? I got friends. Around this world, thousands. You want friends? Be a friend to Jesus. But he said, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow. No man, once having put your hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. As Wayne Austin says, I thank God tonight that he didn't give me what I deserve. He gave me what he wanted me to have. You know, I wish to God tonight that this crowd would either say tonight, Lord, I will follow thee, or I'm sorry, I cannot. Do you understand what I'm asking you tonight? Either to say, yes, Lord, I'll follow you, or I'm sorry, and walk out of here tonight and say, I'm sorry, I cannot. You cannot keep going back for something without being in trouble. People die every day going back into burning houses for something. Men through the ages have been lost thinking that they could go back. Friends, tonight you've started on this journey towards that eternal city. Please don't go back. Don't go back to the old times. Don't go back to the old ways. But remember tonight, he who saved you will keep you. Amen. And guide you. Oh, hallelujah. And fill you to overflowing. People that are looking back tonight are not fully interested. People are putting their hands to the plow tonight, looking back. What are they looking at? They're looking at somebody else's furrow. You can't plow. You see, there's more to this, and I don't have time tonight, so I won't go into it. There's more to this than just a man putting his hand to the plow and looking back. Because every man and every woman that follows Christ, you must get your spiritual plow in the ground. Amen. You've got to survive, and the only way you can survive is get that plow in the ground. Because Mr. God has called us to plow the fields of this world. We're called to plow up the hardened places, traditions, customs. You get saved, buddy, and you hit it right away. Your relatives, sometimes your families, hitting you with tradition. Hitting you with custom. You got to get your plow in the ground and start plowing, mister. And there's no easy way to plow. Plow tears up the earth. And if your life in Christ is what it ought to be, you're going to tear up some ground. Amen. Everybody's not going to be happy with you. Everybody's not going to be pleased with you. But you keep your plow in the ground. When you read the history of God's people, you find that the earth is stained with the blood of the martyrs, including Christ, who dared put their plow in the ground of tradition and custom and hell and devils, and plowed and plowed and plowed. Amen. You show me a Christian laid back, and I'll show you a Christian that has not only put his hands to the plow and doesn't have his plow in the ground, but he's looking back. You know, there's no graceful way to plow. You offend the ground when you plow. Sometime I'll come back and preach that to you. But friends, we plowed. We plowed in sundry places around this world. When we plowed in Dahomey, when we plowed in the Atacora Hills, when we plowed in Togo, when we plowed in Burkina Faso, and when we plowed in Senegal, and when we plowed in France and Germany and India and the Middle East and Russia and Bulgaria, Romania, Czechoslovakia. Every time we got that plow in the ground, the devil reared his head. But I thank God tonight. I thank God tonight that he helped me to put my hands to the plow. I don't want my plowshare to be rusty tonight. You can't camouflage your plowing. We're plowing towards eternity. We're plowing against existing storms. We're plowing against the social realm. Some of you are plowing against families tonight. Some of you young men and young women are here and you're not quite sure why you're here. Don't worry about that now. Don't worry about that now. Seek his face. Amen. And he will guide you because you are on the rock. Amen. Down, Bill. Do you realize that the disciples were murdered in the very fields they plowed? In the very fields they plowed, they were murdered. You are not popular plowing. But he that putteth his hand to the plow and looking back. Lillian Trasher plowed, and she's buried in the middle of the very field she plowed. That little woman that was snubbed, slurred, hated. upon by governments who climbed steamers up the Nile and begged for her little children. And they'd throw her off the boats. And she's buried tonight in the middle of the field she plowed. Florence Steidel, who gave her life in New Hope Town in Liberia, plowed among the lepers with no hands and no feet. And how often I've seen him with no eyes and no voice box, no face. But I've plowed among them. And I said, God, help me if I die in the middle of the field I'm plowing. I am no better than he who died plowing through the ramparts of hell, dragged through the slime pits of hell. He plowed all the way to Calvary's hill. Amen. He died in the middle of his plowing up the devils in hell. Amen. Amen. God help us tonight if we put our hands to the plow and looking back, we are not fit. How many of you say, Brother Greenaway, I want to put my hands to the plow handles tonight, and I promise God that I'm going to hang on. Let me see you stand. 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 Father, 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 Father tonight. Father, Father, Father tonight. We do not rest on short beds. Oh God, will not hold us. For who can declare his glory? And who can declare his strength? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Father, tonight, walk among your people. Walk among this congregation tonight. God, I pray in Christ's name.